This is the Voice of America, broadcasting in special English. From Washington, here is the news. Space news. Moon explorers Alan Shepard and Edgar Mitchell lifted off safely from the moon in their lunar module. They completed man's longest and most productive visit to the lunar surface. Minutes later, the spaceship went into lunar orbit. The crew then aimed the ship to join the orbiting command ship Kitty Hawk, commanded by Stuart Roosa. The astronauts explored the moon's surface for more than 9 hours yesterday and today in the Fra Mauro Highlands. They collected different kinds of rocks and dirt to be brought back to Earth, and they made a number of scientific tests. Scientists are especially interested in Fra Mauro because it may have rocks as old as the solar system itself, thousands of millions of years. Earlier today, the astronauts tried to climb to the top of a crater named Cone, which is about 130 meters high. As they climbed higher and higher on the outside of the crater, they became more tired. They were breathing heavily, and their heartbeats almost doubled. The temperatures inside their spacesuits rose to around 30 degrees centigrade. Space officials in Houston advised them to stop before they reached the top. On the way back to the lunar landing ship Antares, the astronauts continued their scientific tests. Before the two men climbed back into the Antares, astronaut Shepard took out two golf balls and hit them with a special golf stick. He said they traveled miles and miles. Once the two ships are joined, the Antares crew will return to the command ship Kitty Hawk. The lunar landing ship will then be sent off to crash back on the moon, while the Kitty Hawk's rocket engines force it out of lunar orbit and send it toward Earth. We now interrupt our regularly scheduled program to bring you live coverage of the flight of Apollo 14. From the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas, here is correspondent Rhett Turner.
Well, we're back with you to report the rendezvous and docking of the lunar module Antares with the command module Kitty Hawk. We're watching live television coming from the command module. Stu Roosa, an excited young man who's been watching from above as Al Shepard and Ed Mitchell toured the lunar surface, has his TV camera in color trained on the lunar module, pulling up very near. There's a zoom lens on his camera, so the Antares is a bit farther away than it appears to our view here on Earth. But we can see Antares, the upper stage, pulling in very, very close, beginning to get closer and closer for the rendezvous and docking, completing the rendezvous. Below, you can see the lunar surface going by.
Houston Antares, the station keeping at about 100 feet, closing in a little more for the pictures of the service module and command module.
That's Al Shepard.
Roger, Al. We've got you on television, and it's looking beautiful.
Al Shepard's about 30 meters away, station keeping. In other words, standing still in relation to the command module, Kitty Hawk.
He's going to take... Okay, anytime.
That's Roosa.
You're ready, Al.
Okay, we got you, Stu. Go ahead, turn around. We'll photograph you.
Hey, Stu.
I'm going to turn the TV off here.
Stu, looking at the ascent stage of the lamp, it looks like there's something hanging loose from the bottom of it, a piece of wire or insulation or anything. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to wait until we got in a little closer. It's probably part of the separation plane there, I'm sure.
Yeah, we concur on that.
Turn the TV off here before I blast it into the sun on this pitch around, Bruce.
Roger.
That's Stu Roosa turning the television camera off momentarily as he rotates the spacecraft so that Al Shepard and Ed Mitchell can take pictures
and,
of the command surface.
Stu, we'd like to confirm that you got the LEM weight of 5,700 pounds loaded in the DAP prior to docking.
Okay.
That's the weight of the lunar module.
Okay, it's a smooth loop there.
Hey, that's no problem, Bruce, because I dock in, I'll go free, and then I'll get all that squared away. But I'll load it in.
Roger out.
Okay, stand by one here.
Stu Roosa, whom we haven't heard from for quite a while, now a very happy and excited young
okay,
man.
Okay, I shall do a loop later.
Says he'll do a loop
okay,
later.
Okay, make it smooth.
And around we go.
Show us a little style.
Al Shepard saying, show us a little style as he rotates the spacecraft, the command service module.
Oh, you look good.
There I was at 240,000 coming over the top.
That's our home away from home.
Ed Mitchell said there's our home away from home. And a moment before that, boy, do you look good. They're both in orbit around the moon, just 30 meters apart. And Terry,
would you believe 360,000?
I think they're referring to how many feet from the surface to lunar orbit, how far away they were. And Terry,
Kittyhawk's doing an extremely smooth loop. We're sitting at 70 feet, watching him go around. He looks very clean.
About 20 meters apart now. Al Shepard reported Kitty Hawk looks very clean. We've lost communication with one of the radios on board. Al Shepard is reporting on the condition of the command module Kitty Hawk. Since each spacecraft is separated by some 20 meters, each can look over the other. So Stu Roosa is rotating the command module, and this noise we're hearing is most likely the high-gain antenna on Kitty Hawk losing lock with the Earth while it rotates. It'll come back in just a minute if everything performs as it's been performing, which is perfectly. There it comes. These pictures are very helpful to everyone on Earth in analyzing the condition of the craft. If there should be anything wrong, as for instance, you heard a moment ago, there's something hanging out there from the bottom of the lunar module. We assume that Stu Roosa will take a picture
of Antares.
We would
expect to get a television picture back once Stu Roosa has completed maneuvering in the command module to the proper attitude for docking.
As you may recall, when Kitty Hawk and Antares first took off from Earth, Kitty Hawk disconnected from the top of the Saturn rocket and turned around to dock with the Antares and pull it out of the upper stage of that rocket. And there was considerable trouble with what's called a probe and drogue docking mechanism, which didn't work properly. So there's been some apprehension about using it again this time for the real thing, the actual rendezvous and docking in the vacuum of space while in orbit around the moon, several hundred thousand kilometers from home. Well, the astronauts took the probe, the faulty mechanism inside the spacecraft, and examined it.
Oh, you look clean, nice and clean, Stu.
And they found that it was working properly, was nice and clean, put it back on where it's supposed to be, on the apex of the command module Kitty Hawk, and there it is, right now, ready for the real thing.
I'll come a little closer to save you some gas.
Proper docking. That was Al Shepard saying, you look real clean. I'll come in closer to save you some gas. In orbit around the moon, the rendezvous of Antares has been completed.
This is Houston. When you get a chance on panel 16, would you check the ASA and AEA circuit breakers? We've lost data from the AEA only, over.
An instruction from Houston.
They're both in. Thank you.
Is that close enough?
Yeah, that ought to do it.
Stu Roosa, his voice is the very sharp one you can hear from the command craft. An instruction to Shepard and Mitchell in Antares. The two spacecraft moving across the surface of the moon some 100 kilometers up, only about 20 meters apart. Preparing to dock. The rendezvous is complete, perfectly timed.
Okay, I've got the station keeping.
Now, Russo says he has the station keeping. He's going to hold steady while...
Houston, what that is trailing is a little bit of that foil on the bottom part of that tank area there.
Thank you, sir.
It looks like during separation, the foil, that insulation got ripped. The other side is down tight, and the side you're looking at there is ripped out pretty badly.
All right, thank you, Stu, and we've got another good TV picture.
TV hasn't come back on through the signal processor yet. The color television requires a delay of some few seconds, here it comes, to go through a processor to restore the color signal to it. It comes down in data bits, and all of this is put back together in mission control with a computer mechanism. Computers seem to do everything, don't they? They help astronauts to rendezvous while moving at thousands of kilometers per hour around the moon. They get them to the moon and back. Oh, very close. We can see on the TV screen now as the picture comes in the docking apex of the lunar module of Antares. There's the docking collar, down inside of which is what's called the drogue. This is the receptor into which the probe from Kitty Hawk, the command module, is inserted, and the latches are then connected. We'll find out very soon if the primary docking mode is to work. They told Al Shepard that if Stu Russo does not call out latch or catch, that is, catch quite quickly, when he first inserts the probe, that Al Shepard is to thrust forward and to help achieve a quick, hard latch. This is a bit different from the normal planning. Now the docking collar, the docking mechanism on Antares.
Antares, this is Houston. Request low bit rate aft on the over.
You want low bit rate aft on
the spacecraft are now turned toward each other.
Let me see. I wouldn't come in much closer than that, Al.
Al's only about 5 meters.
Are you gonna do your
run? 5 meters away.
Okay.
Shepard is beginning to roll or rotate the spacecraft Antares to a docking position. That's it, Mitchell. There goes the spacecraft slowly rotating. As viewed from the command module, it's rotating in a clockwise direction, counterclockwise from the viewpoint of Shepard and Mitchell. We can see the docking cone, the hatch area, in the top of the lunar module, only about 5 meters away, almost still as viewed from the command ship. Russo says, why don't you stop it there? I need to translate down. Some more antenna sighting problems that's causing this signal noise in the radio communications. There, it cleared up, we hope. Oh. Ed Mitchell's signal went way down. Well, we've... lost a portion of our voice signal now. We can barely hear the astronauts.
Kitty Hawk, Houston, your go for pyro arm.
Mission Control says your go for pyro arm. The signal is very, very low. The spacecraft are now motionless in relation to each other. and we cannot hear the voices.
And Terry, this is Houston. I would like to get the steerable up. Pitch 170, yaw plus 55, high bit rate, and request that you and Giddy Hawk do not make contact until we establish good telemetry. Over.
Now, that's an instruction from Houston for Antares to align its antenna, as we suspected that was where the loss of the faulty signal was coming from. This is an instruction from Bruce McCandless in Mission Control telling Ed Mitchell and Al Shepard how to align the spacecraft antenna for it to lock back in with Earth. I believe it locked in just then, as you heard the noise disappear. They do not want them to dock until they're getting all of the high gain antenna data.
Yes, but we're locked up. How do you read?
Roger,
loud and clear, Ed.
Now,
and we got high bit rate.
There's a lot of data being transmitted on this communications link in addition to the voice signal you hear. What's called high bit rate going through the computers being processed in real time or almost instantly to enable the mission control operators to monitor the parameters of all the systems on board the lunar module. Now, Stu Roosa is translating or moving his spacecraft, Apex docking.
Apollo 14, this is Houston, your go for the docking.
There's the go for the docking, and Roosa will be active.
Roger, we got you.
And Terry's, Ed Mitchell says, Roger, we got you. And Terry's will hold still.
Yeah, how about that?
And that's Roosa saying, yeah, how about that? You'll move in, and we'll see if this probe and drogue work this time. It's anticipated there should be no further problem, but there are alternative methods of getting the astronauts back if it doesn't. In fact, we have three specific ones to talk about, should this immediate docking not work, this normal method. As we told you, Al Shepard has already been instructed to thrust forward just as soon as Stuart Roosa's probe is inserted into the receptor mechanism if Stu does not get a quick latch light, a catch light. The latches are called the big latches which clamp down later. First is the catch assembler. Then by thrusting forward, he will assist the command module in securing a good dock, a good latch. They're beginning to move closer together now. Roosa is piloting. He's bringing the nose of the command module, Kitty Hawk, with its docking probe right up above the tunnel. All of this comes out when the two tunnels are connected. Al Shepard and Ed Mitchell in the golden-colored Antares, which has served them so well in descending to the surface of the moon. Their little home away from home on the surface of the moon. And now they're back to the mothership in orbit, and they said, did it look good? Very close together. Now, Stu Roosa has some targeting assemblies to assist him in aligning this probe and drogue assembly. He can look out his command module window and see a docking target on the lunar module Antares, and by lining up sort of a crosshair device on his ship, he can bring them together. They're very close now. We're about to find out if the probe and drogue do catch. Listen carefully for Roosa's comment. And from Mitchell and Shepard. They're about to dock. Here we go. Stand by. The probe is going into the drogue assembly.
Okay, we captured.
Capture. They got capture.
Beautiful, normal docking.
Okay.
Roosa said, okay, we got capture. The probe worked just as it was supposed to. Now, they have not retracted yet. Here comes the retraction. There's the hard retraction.
We got a hard dock.
Beautiful.
Roosa confirmed we have a hard dock.
A big sigh of relief being breathed around here.
Perfectly normal. Just the way the machinery was designed to operate.
All over the world there is.
You ought to try it from up here.
This world and out of this world, too.
And that was Ed Mitchell saying, all over the world, there's a big sigh of relief. Ed and Al know that the whole world is watching and listening for this successful rendezvous and docking.
Let me clean up over here and I'll be with you.
All right. And there it is. You've just heard the command module, Kitty Hawk, with Stu Russo inside, and the lunar module Antares with Ed Mitchell and Al Shepard return to the mothership in lunar orbit.
When you have a moment, go to Poo and Data for us, and we've got an uplink for you.
And now, right away, we hear Mission Control getting to the more mundane engineering tasks of guidance and navigation data to be passed on up to the astronauts. So, around the world, we hope you were listening. A successful docking. In just a few hours, the rocket on the service propulsion system will be fired, sending the Kitty Hawk back to Earth. The Antares will be disconnected and crashed into the moon. This is Rhett Turner in Houston.
We now join our regularly scheduled program, Already in Progress.